From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 9th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Three more people with COVID-19 have died in Maine. These include two men and one woman who came from Cumberland, Oxford, and Washington counties. One was a person in their 60s, and the other two were age 80 or older. Meanwhile, hospitalization rates continue to fall. Currently, 117 people are in the hospital, 24 are in critical care, and 13 are on ventilators. The Maine Education Association is calling for educators to be prioritized in the state's COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Currently, teachers may fall under Phase 1B of the plan behind older Mainers and those with high-risk medical conditions. MEA President Grace Levitt says she understands that the vaccine supply is limited, but hopes to see educators receiving doses as soon as possible.
But we just want to be sure that we're not being pushed aside or forgotten.
Those comments came after U.S. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said last week that teachers' vaccinations aren't a prerequisite to safely open schools. In Maine, the vast majority of school buildings have been open since last fall, and state officials say there's been little evidence of viral transmission inside. At least some teachers are eligible for vaccinations in many states. In a briefing today, state public health officials said the Mills administration continues to prioritize older Mainers who are associated with the vast majority of deaths from the virus. And for disclosure, most of Maine Public's news staff is represented by the Maine Education Association. Maine will receive up to 4,800 additional doses of the COVID-19 vaccine this week as part of the launch of a federal retail pharmacy program. 24 Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies in Maine are participating in the program and will begin administering doses to eligible residents on Friday. State CDC Director Nirav Shah.
If the supply of vaccine allocated to that program were to expand, we may expand it to other pharmacy types or pharmacy chains here in Maine.
The doses allocated to the pharmacies are in addition to the weekly allotments Maine receives. Residents eligible for the vaccine will be able to sign up for appointments starting tonight on Walmart and Sam's Club websites. And Governor Janet Mills says the first $1 million received from a federal paycheck protection loan will be considered free from state tax. We'll have more on that story in a moment. In weather tonight, snow ending before midnight with a coating to 3 inches and the most in the south coast. Lows just above zero north to the mid-teens along the coast. Tomorrow, partly cloudy north, otherwise mostly sunny, breezy, with highs in the high teens to the low 30s. State health officials say they will be more aggressive in ensuring that providers only administer the COVID-19 vaccine to people who are eligible. Maine Health has come under scrutiny for administering doses to employees who work from home in the early stages of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. But the state's largest health system says it is standing by its decision to vaccinate all staff against COVID-19. Patty White has more.
During a news briefing Tuesday, Maine's Commissioner of the Department of Health and Human Services, Jean Lambrew, said that the state will hold providers accountable if they skirt guidelines for administering the COVID-19 vaccine.
We are reiterating that our guidelines are requirements. We are saying in multiple forms of communication that failing to follow these guidelines could be a violation of the provider agreements, which set up the terms for them getting the vaccine.
Lambrew fielded several questions during the news briefing about Maine Health's decision to vaccinate all of its staff, including those who don't interact with patients, under Phase 1A of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. The commissioner laid out a timeline of how guidelines evolved. About 2 weeks into the process, in late December, she says, the department learned that hospitals had quickly vaccinated patient-facing employees and were moving to non-patient-facing employees.
We indicated our concern, our strong concern about that when we knew that there were community-based doctors and nurses who had yet to get vaccinated because they were not part of a hospital system.
Lambrew says DHHS clarified that patient-facing providers should get the vaccine. And later, she says, the department removed healthcare personnel who don't work with patients from eligibility.
In recognition of the fact that we just didn't have enough vaccine and we wanted to prioritize older people at risk of severe illness and death.
But Mainers 70 and older were prioritized the week of January 18th. And Maine Health says that by that time, it had already administered first doses to all employees, patient-facing and not, who wanted the vaccine. In a statement issued Tuesday, Maine Health insists it has adhered to guidelines at all times. The health system says if it hadn't vaccinated all employees, it wouldn't be able to staff its vaccination sites because employees who had been working from home have been redeployed for at least part of their weekly shifts to those clinics. Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah says the agency is keeping an eagle eye on the rollout to ensure doses are administered to those who are prioritized. But with a large-scale vaccination effort that will put more than 2 million doses into arms over the coming months, he says the road will be bumpy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
St. Joseph's College in Standish is adding new restrictions, including fining students for holding small gatherings, after the school reported a new outbreak of COVID-19. In a message to students yesterday, the school reported 6 positive cases. Another 22 people are in quarantine, taking up half the school's designated isolation space. Spokesperson Oliver Griswold says the school has imposed several new restrictions, including allowing only 3 people in a dorm room at any one time and fining students $150 for hosting at gatherings that violate rules.
There are a few students that are still doing what they normally do. And we're not in normal times right now. We have a pretty high incidence rate around campus. We need to use all the tools at our disposal to keep folks safe.
Last fall, the school had to send students home early after an outbreak on campus. This semester, officials are now testing students weekly in hopes of detecting the virus earlier. Members of the legislature's taxation committee split 3 ways in their efforts to reach a recommendation on how the state should conform its tax laws to reflect changes at the federal level. Mel Leary has details.
The issue at the center of the debate is how Maine should tax forgivable loans made to businesses through the Federal Paycheck Protection Program. Congress gave loan recipients a double tax break, exempting the income on the forgiven loans and also allowing them to deduct business expenses paid for with that federal money. Governor Janet Mills sparked an outcry for initially proposing to only adopt the income tax break. Now the administration says it wants to also allow the full business expense deduction, but only for loan amounts of $1 million or less. Mike Allen, Associate Commissioner for Tax Policy, explained the modification to the Tax Committee Tuesday.
A $1 million exemption to everyone who received a PPP loan forgiveness, regardless of the size of the loan. So if you received more than $1 million, you still get $1 million exemption.
Finance Commissioner Kirsten Figueroa told the committee that the new proposal targets the extra benefit to small businesses, which make up the vast majority of PPP loan recipients in Maine.
Nearly 99.1% of the PPP loans as getting the double benefit that the federal government has authorized.
The committee, which is tasked with making a recommendation to the Appropriations Committee on the issue, got bogged down in a parliamentary squabble over which motion should be voted on first. Senator Matt Puglio, a Republican from Augusta, sought to bring the issue back on track with an assessment of the politics involved.
Probably now is a good time to get to the brass tacks on this. And for the Republican House members, the reality is the Democrat members of this committee are not going to vote for full conformity.
And Puglio was right. 7 of the 13 members, all Democrats, supported the governor's new plan for partial conformity. Republican Representative Craig Krizak of Acton then moved to recommend full conformity with a double tax break and a way to pay for it.
With the recommendation that the Appropriations and Financial Affairs Committee balance the budget through reductions elsewhere in the fiscal year 21 budget.
4 Republicans supported that motion in the end. The panel split 3 ways on the issue, between full conformity, the governor's new plan, and a proposal from Senator Ben Chipman, a Portland Democrat, to reject any state tax breaks on PPP loans and use the revenues raised to assist both businesses and individuals hurt by the pandemic. The Appropriations Committee will take up the issue later this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And for years, protesters have gathered on Sundays at the corner of High and Main Streets in downtown Belfast to speak out against war, racism, and proposed fish farm, among other causes. Some locals call it Protest Corner, but lately the progressive activists have been replaced by a boisterous group of anti-mask protesters. And as Murray Carpenter reports, city officials are trying to balance the rights of the protesters with those of local residents and business owners.
On Sunday afternoon, a dozen protesters are gathered at the corner, chanting and waving placards that say, "No masks for me." Some passersby give a thumbs up, and the protesters cheer.
This is an anti-government overreach, anti-lockdown, anti-mask, everything that entails.
That's how organizer Kaylee Stanley describes the protests. She lives in Northport and runs a record store just across the street.
I'm hoping to give people hope that there are people that can see exactly what's happening right now. And we're not going to give up fighting for our freedoms. And if they want to come and join us, we make our side stronger every day. More people are waking up and realizing that we're being lied to, that we're being manipulated, and this is not a real pandemic.
Someone jeers from a car, and Stanley responds.
Day, we love you.
I love your unity.
Your mask is useless. It's useless. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Take care.
One protester uses a megaphone to chant "All Lives Matter" and to encourage passersby to remove their masks. The protests are loud enough that some residents are avoiding the area altogether.
I confronted them one day, and my blood pressure went through the roof, so I have avoided downtown.
That's Rachel Beckford, who lives nearby and is using another downtown street to skirt the protests.
I'm a knitter, and I knit with the library knitters and First Church knitters. And I would say both groups of women avoid downtown because of the protesters.
My biggest concern is the small businesses that are being challenged during those times on Sundays.
Eric Sanders, the mayor of Belfast, says as some shoppers have come to avoid the Sunday scene, businesses have paid the price. A couple of downtown business owners declined to discuss the controversy on tape, but Sanders suggests a remedy.
The city is encouraging citizens to overshop, if you will, on Saturdays to make sure that our small businesses in a pandemic don't further suffer lack of business.
Sanders says the city council discussed the protests and the need for civility at a recent meeting that prompted dozens of residents to comment by video link. He says most people want to see the right to protest protected.
Democracy is standing on the corner and protesting about things. The irony here is that they're protesting wearing masks in the middle of a pandemic when science has shown that masks are effective. That makes it a little bit tougher, but it doesn't mean we can't get through it together with civility.
But there have been tensions. At one recent protest, two people shoved each other during an altercation at the corner, but no charges were filed. On Sunday, a car stops at the corner and a woman emerges to confront the protesters. She says she's a healthcare worker at a COVID-positive unit. As a protester approaches closely with a cell phone to film the woman's badge, she grabs at the phone. A police officer monitoring the protests intercedes. He asks the woman to meet him at the police station. She agrees and quickly returns to her car and drives off. The protesters chant louder than ever.
Free, free is the way to be. Show your faces. Free Americans living free.
The police charge the woman with assault, disorderly conduct, and reckless conduct, and one of the protesters with disorderly conduct. Police Chief Jerry Lincoln says he recently allocated extra hours to have officers on duty for any protests in Belfast. And in the interests of civility and public health, Mayor Eric Sanders says he is encouraging people not to engage with the protesters. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Murray Carpenter.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Maine Calling at 11. I'm Nora Flaherty.